Welcome back to The New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And you know, when the propaganda TV networks get to make new graphics for blank under attack, you'd know that you're in PSYOP territory. So on this episode 249 of New World Next Week, we're going to look at three angles of the latest Paris attacks, where the enemies of encryption have their knives drawn, and we could be seeing the end of the European project. But first, Putin calls out G20 nations for funding ISIS. And this is an article on tothedeathmedia.com. Who notes, if there's one thing Putin's a master at, it's his ability to gather and hold intel until it can be used for a strategic purpose. Some believe Putin holds disastrous intel on 9/11, and more recently, his info on MH17s being shot down by someone else kept the Dutch from crucifying Russia in the aftermath of that tragedy. So with all this in mind, it should come as no surprise that as the world rushes in to follow Russia's lead, and finally eradicate ISIS, Putin announced during the recent G20 summit that upwards of 40 nations were culpable and responsible for funding and creating ISIS, including a number of member states within the G20 itself. Now, Western nations, of course, have a long history of speaking out of both sides of their mouths when it comes to war and geopolitics, and it's only been a little over a decade since countries like France and Germany were outed for their roles in funding Saddam Hussein, while Iraq was under UN sanctions during the Oil for Food program. And much more recently, France's one of their largest banks, Paribas, was cited for aiding Iran in their oil for gold scheme that went against ongoing U.S. sanctions. So, James, if we use the conspiratorial view of history, for me as a guy in America, France seems like they've been used for centuries by the powers that shouldn't be, whether they're a catalyst to something, a scapegoat, a bully, a target, and all usually in relation to the foreplay of World War. So are we already in World War III or perhaps World War IV now, James?
I would certainly hope that's not the case, but there are certainly things lining up that look like we are in some sort of tension that could escalate into that sort of scenario. So I think when we have Putin coming out and trying to call out other nations on this, that's obviously playing into the larger narrative of the sort of Russia, China, Iran resistance bloc versus the West, and it's interesting to see that being used here. Although it's interesting, if Russia's calling out, if Putin is calling out the other nations for their financing of ISIS, which is absolutely on point, and I think the point that should be being made right now, but it, of course, is something that can blow up in Putin's face, because, for example, as Sibel Edmonds has alluded to, he has hundreds of millions of dollars stashed offshore, so, does he really want to start bringing up this and exposing himself to that kind of scrutiny and what Russia is doing as well? But this is the card that has to be played. So certainly France is being used here as to forward the narrative, to forward a narrative that obviously the first immediate effect is going to be to increase the war in Syria. We'll have to see where it takes us from there. But I can't imagine that that's going to be the end of this story.
And some of the latest I see is, of course, the news is essentially wall to wall. And the latest I've seen on this, the reaction phase, which, as you noted, came pretty swiftly. The retaliation, the latest I see, James, from a few hours ago, 33 ISIS members killed in airstrikes. And there's multiple news sources citing that 33 number. And you've got a lot of great info coming together on your open source investigation post on CorporateReport.com. As you have people, as you know, as myself, I find valuable to hear from people who live in that area and can speak with knowledge about just kind of the feelings and the situations there. So in addition to all of that, there's also great hard evidence as well, putting this story together, who did what, where, and when. So I would implore people, as always, to check out all the links we include in the show notes to these episodes. So if that's the international angle, James, our second Paris attacks angle is what kind of happens at home in the immediate aftermath of something like this. And it's basically martial law, but of course now with the 21st century technological kind of overlay. After Paris attacks, encrypted communication is back in the spotlight. And we'll just take this briefly from NPR. We know little about the means used by those involved in the deadly attacks in Paris, but intelligence and security officials have already launched a new wave of chatter about encryption. First, the New York Times reported that anonymous European officials were saying they believed the Paris attackers had used some kind of encrypted communication, but offered no evidence. NBC News citing unnamed officials as suggesting the ISIS Geek Squad is teaching terrorists how to use encryption in communication platforms like Silent Circle, Telegram, and WhatsApp, of course owned by Facebook. There was even a Forbes story that suggested the terrorists talked over the PlayStation 4. That has now been invalidated. One thing is clear, the investigation into the attacks is ongoing, and no specific evidence of encrypted or other communications has been confirmed. So that's even NPR saying, hey, you know, we're scared of the boogeyman and everything, but gosh, there's a lot of holes in this story. So meanwhile, Ars Technica is reporting that aforementioned New York Times report, they yanked it. New York Times polls report of French officials claims Paris attackers used encrypted apps. And actually, Reason has an article getting into the enemies of encryption, sort of with their knives drawn. So, James, I have one slight other kind of domestic angle for this, but what about the encryption angle?
It's another story that isn't worth the paper it isn't written on. So unnamed sources come out and say, oh, well, trust us, they use some sort of encryption, so now we have to crack down on everything. Absolute garbage. Total baloney. But it shouldn't be surprising. I mean, this isn't really about the deep state being able to use its encryption. It already is. Encryption cracking techniques and what have you in the back doors. It's about winning the propaganda war, about winning back the hearts and minds of the people so that they willingly embrace this idea. Well, if we don't have constant government surveillance of everything, the terrorists are going to win. So I think that's really where we can situate this. And it shouldn't be surprising. They will use this angle in the wake of every terrorist attack or any kind of attack of any sort. They'll use this angle to try to get people back on board with the surveillance agenda, to whip up that frenzy and hysteria that we all felt after 9/11. Ooh, we need Big Brother to save us. And that's exactly what they're playing on right now. And it's good to see. I mean, if even NPR is calling out the emperor for not wearing clothes, I mean, that goes to show something.
And I think we've talked about for many, many years now that in the wake of these events, the fear, and of course the dialectic of it all is, oh, we get to use your scared reaction to build up the controls. But when the fear sort of subsides, hey, there's still 10,000 troops outside, even though I don't feel like I'm under imminent attack and you guys have already blown up ostensibly the bad guys. So the other angle to this sort of domestic story, James, France deploys 10,000 troops to patrol streets in the wake of Paris attacks. These 10,000 soldiers will join the 7,000 already deployed after the January Charlie Hebdo killings. So these soldiers will be granted relatively unprecedented powers as Parliament and President Hollande look to amend the 1955 State of Emergency Law, which was last used in 2005 when the government looked to silence anti-police brutality riots. Now, James, I think this is important, and this is actually from an article from the antimedia.org about France deploying troops. Marking only the second time since the Second World War that the law has been enforced, the modifications will grant the French government the right to put entire neighborhoods on lockdown, including strictly enforced curfews, house raids without judicial oversight, weapon seizures, search and arrest of suspicious individuals, and broad powers of censorship. The law will also allow for the closure of theaters and meeting halls, as well as stronger control over France's borders. Now, James, again, essentially, whether you're talking about the Boston Marathon aftermath or Paris, it's martial law immediately afterwards.
Exactly right, yeah. Just lock down the towns and put the people under house arrest, because anyone can be a terrorist. It's the logic of the terrorist situation and the terrorist meme, which is exactly why this is the meme and the war for the 21st century.
And it works on both sides of the pond. I think that was the amazing, scary, frightening thing to kind of watch on this side. And actually, I was booked to go on with Jack Blood. We already had it booked, you know, a week or so in advance. I was going to go on him Friday the 13th. By the time we had pretty much sat down and met up on Skype, hey, something bad, we were realizing what exactly was going on. And it doesn't take long, again, if you watch media, if you analyze and become media literate, it doesn't take long for you to see kind of the signs and symbols and go, oh, this is going to be big. They're going to crank this up big time. And that is when you see the graphics change and those sorts of things. So really, mission accomplished, James. After Paris, poll says Americans want U.S. to attack ISIS more. We've even been whipped into that frenzy because everybody watches, everybody gets emotionally invested, and they're at that kind of heightened emotional state, James, like we've kind of talked about before. When you're ripe for suggestion, and usually these suggestions are, just as we've laid out, pretty much more war and more police state. So having said all of that, James, is there any way we can weasel out a good news next week angle to this? We've been including good news on every episode of of New World Next Week all through 2015. So if we can maybe take it from newstatesman.com, they had an article a little while ago, A Crisis Without End, The Disintegration of the European Project. So this is kind of tough. How do we explain the collapse of the possible European Union as a good thing, James, if we can?
Well, okay, I think there's the short term and the long term with this. With the short term, it's tempting to say anything that's a roadblock to the globalist project, the EU fascists who want to dictate to all of the people of Europe from their Brussels redoubt, is a good thing, because this is a roadblock to that European project, which we know has been the project that has been the apple in the eye of the Bilderbergers since 1955, documentably. And, of course, the globalists of all stripes have been working towards it for decades. Here's a big setback, and now the Schengen area is collapsing, everything's coming back down to national level. Yay, we're decentralizing. But I think, unfortunately, again, not unmitigated good news, if you look longer term, I can definitely see this being used jujitsu style to say, oh, no, we don't need to shut down all these borders. What we need is the complete surveillance tracking control grid for the combined European Union area. What we need to do is further consolidate our control over Europe so that we have an integrated customs and border area so that we can track everything that comes in, everything that moves around in Europe. And they're going to use this for more control. So in the short term, yay, globalist roadblock. But in the longer term, I think this might turn into a even sort of globalist on steroid type project.
Well, and I have links about the Schengen area, because I had to do research into that because I wasn't very familiar with it. Probably shouldn't get fully into that now. But it essentially looks like it was this area of, hey, once you pass the strict controls of getting in the scene, you can move around with all our friend nations. But that's if you're inside, it's easier to kind of move about. Now, of course, France is calling for getting rid of this because did they come from the migrants and the refugees and spies and Greek and all of these things? So, yeah, you're right. In the short term, there is sort of the roadblock. But I think the other, if I can kind of squeeze in other possible good news, is that, as we noted earlier, if even NPR are going, this kind of story stinks, I've got a couple of things. One, why whistleblowers can't be blamed for the Paris attacks. Of course, that's always the first thing to say is, oh, well, you know, all these traitors, they've let this happen because the terrorists now can escape the dragnet, even though we know the terrorists knew about the dragnet years ago and weren't even doing it pre-9/11, for whatever any of that is worth. So I think that it now gets people asking, at least limited hangout perhaps style, just as we're kind of saying, not unmitigated good, asking questions about this. So even when you see places like Boing Boing saying, U.S. mass surveillance has never prevented a large terror attack ever. So the phone records and all those things that they sell us as protecting us is pretty much a load of garbage. So James, is there any other way you can kind of put a happy face on this at all?
I don't think I'm going to try at this point. I think that's the best we can do.
That's probably the best we can do. So we will wrap up with a few other headlines, James, because the world continues to turn and there are other things going on that don't involve Paris, although you wouldn't know it if you switched on the propaganda networks. So, right, you know, Nigerian flags all around for everybody for support, you know, moral outrage and stuff. No, because no one in the Western world cares. They're not our color people, and we don't care if Boko Haram killed thousands and thousands of more people than ISIS ever really has, and Boko Haram ranked ahead of ISIS for deadliest terror group. And we've discussed AFRICOM, and that is a whole other episode and whole other area, but a little bit of perspective, if you will. Meanwhile, a couple of other stories we're looking at. German triple agent admits spying for the CIA. The Red Cross accuses U.S.-backed Saudis of deliberately attacking healthcare facilities in Yemen. And alarm as patients shun the flu jab. So I'll implore people to keep using hashtag New World next week. And James, next week's episode will be our 250th, and it'll also be Thanksgiving and Black Friday. So with that, I'll just say check out my mediamonarchy.com/feed for all my latest interviews and music and so much more. James?
That's right. And of course, youtube.com/mediamonarchy for your upcoming YouTube updates as well.
Yep.
All right. Excellent. We'll leave it there. Thank you for the updates.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.